pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving. Money of living, thank you and
sing it unto him. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanks. I'll be a sanctuary for you. Amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Just remember, by way of announcements, now the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 here at the church. So come and be with us and discuss the message some with us and have a good time. Also remember, the fellowship meeting will be on the third Saturday at Brother Lee Garland's. And if you want to ride with us, make sure you let us know when and what. And also remember, now we're gathering after the evening service for those that are in the play and the things of doing it for the Alabama Youth Camp. To remember that after the evening service, to immediately go in the back to gather together and go through some lines and different things. And also, we've got to know now, we need to know today who all's going and what's going to be done, because we may have to make some other arrangements for places to stay. So we've got to know. We can't wait till 2 or 3 weeks down the road and somebody come up and say, well, we want to go. Well, if you do, you have to get a motel, because we can't. They're just limited on the amount of space at the campground. So remember that. Also remember the Ernest Calhoun family, where he passed away yesterday, and just keep the family in your mind and in your prayers. Right. Let's turn to Hebrews 6. Try to continue on the message this afternoon. Hebrews 6. Father, we thank you this afternoon for an opportunity of gathering together. We thank you for thy word that you've given us. Thank you for preserving it for us, Lord, that when it would come down to the time that we would really be needing it, it would be there for us. We thank you. And just have your way now as we read your words. You come and speak to our hearts. Remember the sickness and the different things that are among us, Lord, and just touch each one. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction, so we believe it. Be with Wade and June tomorrow as they travel back, Lord, and just be especially with the Calhoun family there and all of the church at Brother Longoria's as the brother passing away. And we appreciate the opportunity to have known our brother for a long time and all, Lord, and just be with the family and just have your way. As we read your words, you come and speak to us, because we depend upon that more than anything else. We commit it all into your hands now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, verse 13. I may not get to the fullest extent of this afternoon, but I want to just go down so far. So we'll go with Hebrews 6, verse 13 through 20. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could... because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. invite two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Those are this afternoon, but make sure if anybody here that didn't get them, make sure they got them for the morning. Now, we've been talking about a positive attitude, because I think that's what we need to have more than any today, is a positive attitude about all things, you know. And we've been over it and over it, covering how the prophet said, and we believe it for ourselves and the Bible and all, that, see, there's nothing negative in God. It's all positive. It's all complete. It's already finished. When he said we're perfect, we can't argue the point. We have no right. What right would you use? Well, Brother Dale, we just don't. See, you're looking at yourself. You're not looking at what God is looking at. God is not looking at you and I. He's looking at the sacrifice that was made for us. Because without a sacrifice, you know, we are worth nothing. But standing complete under the sacrifice, then we can stand and say that we're just as perfect as God is by being in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. So we've got to have a positive attitude about what we say. Because remember the message a few weeks ago, we were talking about confessing. And to confess is to say the same thing. You know. So if God says we're perfect, why can't we say we're perfect? If God said the rapture is already in process, why can't we say it? Well, I just say in a way. No, see, it's not in a way. It's not in a thought. It's not in anything to you and I. It's what God says. We can't depend upon nothing else. Our goodness is, what good would it be? It would be filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. So we have to believe in the atonement that was made. And the you know, you can't believe that without having a positive attitude. He paid the price. It's not what you do plus what he done. You have nothing to do with it. You and I have nothing to do with our salvation. It's just accepting what Jesus Christ done. Accepting what he paid the price for you and me. And then believing that and saying that. You say, well, but Brother Dale, it's just so hard in a time like this. What if you was living back there when they cut your throat for, kill you for what you believe? At least you and I are not in a position of having to give our lives for something we believe at the present time. You know, I believe it would be easier if we were. Because that way you just make a commitment and go give your life. But yet what is so bad is things is so much at ease. But the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. The time now that we should be pressing the battle is the time, you know. I mean, this is it. We should press and press now more than ever before. Because it's over with, just about it. How much longer would it have? What if it was 20 more years? What would that be? The way time's flying now, it wouldn't take long to get gone. This year's just about gone, folks. See, you just seem to turn around now and time's gone. You don't have anything. I laugh about it, saying, are they stealing time from us? But I don't reckon that can be done. But, you know, it sure is getting to be growing mighty, things is going fast. And we need to believe it and walk out and stand upon the present tense now of what God says about us. And reviewing this morning just a minute, where he says that there in Corinthians, you know, those that he justified, he's already glorified. Now, the prophet said, your glorified body is right here in the building. He said, it's being built around your born-again experience. It's not off somewhere else. It's right here with you. All we got to do is just step over into it, and that's where the change is. You know, that's the point. But it's not just something that, well, one of these days a bus will pull up and we'll be ready to go. No. No. It's walking in the Word until we become the Word. Read and study the message now more than ever before, because in the message lays rapture in faith and rapture in grace. Lays in the message. So why would we look for something else? See, this message is to bring us the answer to all things. Now, so you understand what I'm saying? He said, the prophet said, everything is in God is a positive. There's no negative, it's all positive. It's yea and amen. It's not yea and nay, that's the man in our lives out here. Because I can tell you something and have to change my mind tomorrow and do something else. But when it's yea and amen, when God said it, that's it. Alright? Now you remember that? We were trying to get a point across this morning. That God before the world, back before anything whatsoever, He spoke about a lamb that was slain. And the Lamb's Book of Life was made. Then we argue over, and that's what gets me about the people of the message, is they argue about this and argue about that instead of believing what God said. Instead of just believing the way God says it and leaving it that way. See, I've heard them argue over, let's just turn just a second and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Look at Galatians 1:8, the one we were on this morning. I've heard arguments over this because they're talking about another gospel. And Brother Brown said, there's not another gospel. He said, there's only one gospel. But they've argued, well, that was a gospel, and over in the end times, another gospel. But just read the Scripture and see what it says. See, we're quick to read. Verse 8, though we are an angel from heaven, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We're quick to read that. But we don't read the background. Look at the verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Yeah. Those people back there were already pulled away to another gospel. They were losing out. That's why Paul was having to say, watch it, verse 7. Read it together now. I marvel that we are so soon removed, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Alright? But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Then he says, though we are an angel. There's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. That's what's positive, see? Because you have a yea and a nay if you go in with all of these things of what the world is saying about it, but see, there's not another gospel. Paul said it. And I've heard the people of the message try to preach another gospel to come in the end time. Like, this was so-and-so, but then we had to get another gospel. No. The seals wasn't an addition to the Word. It was what the Word said. Sure, it might not have been recorded by man to understand, but that don't make it another gospel. It's in the end time when the revelation comes forward. All right. But now let's get back on our point that we were talking about this morning, and then we'll try to move on. Now remember what I was trying to say this morning, one thing. When God speaks His Word, then that Word is forever settled. Now, when He says it, that's it. He can never speak nothing different. That's why there's no contradictions in the Bible. There's contradictions in our stupidity. I'll agree with it that way, but not contradictions in the Bible. See? Because when once God says it, that's it. The prophet said it don't need to be interpreted, it needs to be believed. That when God said, let there be light, what was the interpretation? There was light. When he says we're perfect, why can't we say we're perfect? At least let me stand and confess. Let me confess it to where God can come forth and fulfill that. Because to confess is to say the same thing. If he says I'm perfect, why can't I say I'm perfect? Well, you see these car stickers, you know. I'm not perfect, but I'm saved. If you're saved, truly born again, that's what makes you perfect. But see, that's the devil putting out his flash cards to try to trick your mind into getting you to think, well, I know Brother Branham says I'm perfect, the Bible says I'm perfect, but I'm just really saved. See, now that's not a positive attitude. A positive attitude is to say exactly what God says. And to believe what he says. Alright? See, when Jesus stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, there was no way that he would not come down here and be slain some 2,000 years ago physically. There was no way that would be written. There's nothing written. I remember this great brother in the message. He said, me and Bill talked about some things in the Bible that wouldn't even ever be fulfilled. Well, I didn't care too much for what he said. Because I knew what the prophet said. He said all things has got to be fulfilled. Well, I don't care if he was quoting Brother Branham to the letter. He didn't understand what Brother Branham was talking about. And that's what we do a lot of times. But now, get what we're saying now. Once it was written, once it was spoken, there's no way that it would not come down here and be fulfilled. And like I said now, if we could actually see ourselves and see the age that we're living, which is the lady will see an age, then we know for certain that we are one group or the other. We're either blind, wretched, miserable, and naked and don't know it. And if that ain't what the world is out there, I'd like to know. Because, like I said this morning, you can't even walk around decently and looking without the nakedness that's in front of you. But see, that's not even what it's talking about physically. That's physical part. It's talking about naked in the Word. To not have an understanding of God's Word. All right. We're either that or we're the bride of Jesus Christ. So which one do we claim to be today? Which part are we? Now, listen, do you understand what I was trying to get at this morning? We're just fulfilling what God has already said. Why can't we believe that? Why can't we believe that we're actually fully... Brother Brown said, God saw you sitting in the seat with certain clothes on. Said he saw me standing in the pulpit with a suit on. Well, now, how come we can't believe that? Well, now, if I was like Abraham, and if I was like Moses, and I was like, you know, if God would just speak to me, why don't you read your Bible? That is God speaking to you. If we don't believe that God is speaking to us by the Bible, then you don't know and do not believe, you're only running your blabbering mouth, is the best way to say it, of saying that you would like to be back there with Abraham. Because remember what Jesus done with some people that had a statement? You remember what Jesus said about him? When they were saying, if we'd have been back there, he said, and you garnished the tombs of the ones that killed him. You'll see, there's no difference. If you understand what I mean, I keep trying to drive a point. What you are today is what you would have been back there in the Bible time. If you'd have lived, Danny, back there when Moses was walking, you'd do the same thing you're doing today. See, because we can't get that settled in our heart and our mind, though, to see something and look at it positive. To believe who we are. We're not trying to say something that's a contrary or a fancy doctrine or an idea. It's simply over and over, get what the prophet had to say. And listen to see if he wasn't talking about how positive he was. Like we were talking about out there a while ago, Brother Aaron brought it up about what I preached about those who prophesy must die. Well, see, if you and I just keep saying one of these days, like he was saying, you know, we say one of these days now we're going to be perfect. One of these days there's going to be something happen. One of these days, you know what that is? Prophesying. You're prophesying of something to happen. Why not say it is here now? That prophet was speaking about something that you know, would be hundreds of years later, and it's just like he was right there. He'd see things way back in the past. He's like he was just sitting there watching it, you know. And he'd talk about the future of things, and he'd see it. Because you think about, see, now, a vision. You know, I've tried to explain to you why Brother Branham could be so certain about when he'd be praying for people. And he'd see a vision of somebody. He'd say, maybe it's a young man standing there. He'd say, I see you as an old man with your lunch under your arm walking down the street. Well, no wonder he could say, thus saith the Lord, you're not going to die. Why, if he believed what he saw, the man would have to be, say, he saw him at 40, and when he seen him in the vision, I mean, he's standing there at 40, and he seen him in vision, he was 80. He wasn't going to die for 40 years. See, that was thus saith the Lord. God done showed him that. Because you know what had happened? You know that Brother Branham had, in vision, had went in time to the time he saw the man? By vision, he had traveled that way. You ever had a dream to where that a week or two or a month or two or something, a year later, you seen it come to pass? Well, Brother Brown said, some part of you went there. Some part of you went there, he said. You see, no, that was just a dream. But God took that and took you into a future. John on Patmos, sitting back there in AD 95-96, writing in 2006. Right? Things are out here now transpiring exactly like he saw it. He was translated over into it. Who we talking about? Naaman, about the chariots jostling in the streets. He said, running like lightning. What did he do? He was translated over into 2000 something maybe or somewhere because he saw Buicks and Oldsmobiles running up down the street, running into each other with headlights on. He saw the future. He was taken to the future. That's the way that I was trying to describe this morning of what that God before the world, when he said it, he saw it. He saw the whole thing before it ever even started. You can't pull nothing over on God. You can't change things. Prayer can change things, but that's not changing it to where that God didn't know he was going to do that. But you understand what I'm saying? That once God saw something, to him it was finished. Do you understand that point of what I'm saying now, where we can move on? That when he said it, that was it. He didn't have to wait till it come to pass. He didn't have to wait until the time come that it happened on earth. To him, it was over with. That's what took care of Adam and Eve in the garden. Was the fact that he saw a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If not, he would have had to kill them once he knew and walked into their presence with sin. He'd have had to kill them. Then he went and offered to sacrifice himself and kill the animals for them, to make them where they could come into his presence. But they were just about like all the rest of us. Brother Brown said they were back in the bushes having church. Now that's what he said, behind the fig leaves having church. Oh, having a glorious time, shouting glory, hallelujah. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're going to heaven. I'm not talking about going to heaven. There's one thing, I don't teach going to heaven. I teach heaven coming here. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the soul. Why do we want to go up in heaven to be in heaven for? The prophet made a statement one time about it. He said heaven was empty. Well, you going to be up there by yourself? I mean, that's just a natural point. But you see, when God saw something or spoke it, when he spoke it, that's it. God ever gives you a promise, don't worry about it. But see, I doubt very few people have it. Brother Tom there talks about the time that he came over there at work, and we were all standing there, and he said, I've been bleeding like everything, you know, having problems. He said, I'm going to the doctor. Y'all pray for him. We prayed for him. He said, that's it. It's finished. He got an unction right there. They went down there and put him through 1 week of tests. Never could find out what's wrong with him. Why? Because it was done. But yet our problem is that when God tells us something, see, and maybe and I don't like the word linger, but the prophet used it. But maybe when he lingers to bring to pass in a reality what we're asking him for, then we start having problems. And we're certainly not the seed of Abraham, because Abraham waited 25 years. And his testimony at the end of the 25 years was more positive than it was the first day that he started saying it. That's the children of Abraham. And he didn't have the new birth to make that from. He didn't have the new birth to make that statement from. He was making it because he believed God spoke to him. As we was last night. I believe it's the token where Brother Brown was talking about. He said, Abraham said he believed God. Well, why can't we believe him? Well, I'm just not Abraham now, Brother Dale. No, we're the seed of Abraham. And sitting in a greater situation than Abraham was in, because we're in the new birth. Abraham can only be qualified as Old Testament Jehovah's bride. He can't come up under the New Testament and be the bride of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to believe God's word. There's no way in the world for something that God has spoken for it not to come to pass. I tell this because I try to tell it for the glory of the Lord, but my wife and I were in the garden, and I told her something's going to happen. I said, if it don't, I'll quit preaching. She said, well, you preached your last sermon. What I was telling her was a total impossibility. You know, I said, it will take place. And it did. Why? Because if God told me that, why can't we be like Brother Branham, see? He said, if God told me to go raise George Washington, he said, I'd invite the world to see him raised. But we're just not Brother Branham. I wish we could get that out of our... I know who we are, and we're not prophets. We're not that. But we're the children of God. He was an example unto us. I had a quote, I think it's in the ones back there, where that Brother Branham was speaking about that... All David had to do was kill Goliath. He said he didn't have to whoop all them Philistines. Well, we don't have to whoop them all. We don't have to do everything. But he said all David had to do was kill Goliath. He said the children of Israel took care of the rest of them. Well, when are we going to stand up in faith to believe who we are and say it? I don't preach a gospel that Brother Dale is everything and you got to depend upon me for everything. I preach if you're trying to get you to meet God in your own experience to where you can be positive about what you believe. Because if not, then we wind up in trouble. But now get the point. I just want to read a few things Brother Brown said about that when God speaks, and just see what he said. That when God speaks, look what takes place. Now you read all of these together and you'll find out what I'm talking about, but this is talking about Naaman with the chariots jostling in the street, number one on your notes there. He's talking about those things, and he's Broadway and the raging, they'll run like lightning. Maybe his critical, this is three witnesses, preached in 1951, 728. He's talking about maybe his critical neighbor said, well, John has just a little bit off at his mind. He's read too much in the Bible. But his grandchildren are riding in one of those things tonight. He's talking about Naaman and the chariots jostling in the streets. You realize riding in your car today coming to work, I mean to church, that you were fulfilling Naaman's and the chariots jostling in the streets and the thing running like lightning with your headlights on and things. You're fulfilling that. When are we going to believe it, see? But his grandchildren are riding one of those things tonight. See, when God speaks it, it's forever settled in heaven. Then that's got to come to pass. And now Jesus came, and his healing was to fulfill the ministry of Elijah and all the prophets and from the foundation of the world. He was the fulfillment of that. The law and the prophets were until John, since then the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was the fulfillment of all they said.
Right. Amen.
Now, can we look at him and see it that way? Look down to the next one. Show us the Father, 1967:31. God is in his word. We believe that. He keeps it. We can tell it when God speaks anything. We watch that word comes right down and manifest just exactly what he says comes to pass. So we know God is in his word. He told Abraham he was going to have a baby by Sarah, and he waited 25 years. God kept his word, told Noah it was going to rain, and all the things that he told. He told 120 that, go up, wait at Jerusalem till the day of Pentecost had fully come. He was going to send a promise to the Father. He kept his word. He always keeps his word. Why can't we read that when we read about the things in the Bible that took place and read that as seeing it, that the promise of God was fulfilled. And we look at it in a positive extent. Why can't we be like Joshua? That's why it says that Joshua and Caleb was of another spirit. They went over there. They come back depending upon God's promise that they could take the land. The other 10 come back talking about looking like grasshoppers in the size of the eyes of the people, you know. But see, they said, we can do it. Why? Because God said it. When are we going to believe what God said to be true? And get away from our own thinking, see? Going down to the Smyrna church age, right at the very bottom of it. He's talking about they're looking any time for it. It didn't come in their age. See what he's talking about back up before, if you'll understand. They were talking about there was prophecies and they heard of these martyrdom crowns and different things. He said it didn't come in their age. Then maybe some of them said, well, you know, I tell you that prophet was wrong. John was wrong. It didn't happen to us here in Smyrna. Why? It was to be hundreds of years later. See? But when God speaks anything, it has to come to pass. They could say, like Brother Run said, when they first heard it, they're scared to death. Oh, it's coming in our time. But when it didn't come, oh, well, see, there the Lord. In other words, people quoting Scripture, see, the Lord declareth is coming. You know, we've heard that since their fathers went to sleep. Didn't know that was exactly the fulfillment of the Scriptures. There's a time to all things, and it's not a time to just play around now, because we're in the fulfilling of all things. We're in the time now that the rapture is going to take place, and what are you going to do that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What are you going to do that don't have the new birth? If you don't have the new birth, you don't go into rapture. That's not a scare tactics. I don't believe in scaring. Ain't going to do no good anyway. I believe in telling the truth. If we don't have the new birth, when the rapture comes, we're not going into rapture. We're going to be left here in a tribulation period. Then who are we going to blame for that? Like a man in this message used to come here years ago, and he preached a sermon here. And he's preaching on feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Well, I enjoyed the message. I told him later I enjoyed it. I really didn't know that he was talking about me until years later. But he said, I was trying to tell you to feed my kids, not get on that old deep stuff. That's what he said. You was on all that other stuff, and I was trying to tell you to feed my kids. Well, why didn't he line up with the gospel and feed some himself? But that goes beside the point. Look down at the bottom on the second miracle, 1951:729. All right, but that, see, when God speaks anything, though it linger, it's got to come to pass. Now, I believe that God was going to do it, and there was that great modernistic day of scientists and everything else standing out there saying, days of miracles of past and so forth. He's talking about Noah, if I ain't mistaken. Knowing that it was going to take place. Look at the top one on the other and we'll quit reading. Well, look now, look down at the bottom. We have seen his star, 1963, 1216. Did you notice it had to be just at this time when this murderous King Herod, nothing but a murderer, killed all those little children, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. See, that it might be fulfilled. Those children were killed because the prophet said it. In Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, and they were not. See, there had to be a murderous king to fulfill that prophecy. And that was spoke many hundred years before. But when God speaks a word by his prophet, it has to come to pass if it's God's word. No matter how long it lingers, it's still come to pass because it's a seed. That's a seed. That's what it is. It's God's word. Jesus said the word of God is a seed to the sower sow. So it must bear its fruit in its season. Now that murderous king had to be at that time to kill those children. Now that's something, ain't it? You know that a prophet one day said that cursed some children? And some buyers came up and ate, I believe, 40 or killed 42 of them. Because the prophet said it. But you know how we are? You know what they said after then? You killed our children. Our poor little children. And the only thing I've ever said about that is Elisha shouldn't have cursed the children and let them kill. He should have cursed the parents. Sent the buyers after the parents. Because the parents is one that caused the trouble. Because they were all the parents were sitting around at night laughing and saying, look at old bald head. Look at him. Old Elijah said he's going up. He ain't gone up. He just disappeared somewhere. And them children was out there making fun of Elisha. But yet the words of a prophet. You know that those people back there, that Brother Branham said it was necessary for those people to be in the wilderness against Moses, you know, the ones that was against him. He said it was necessary for them to be there because were the same, their grandchildren, etc., could come over and be the ones that would speak against Jesus Christ. That was prophecy fulfilled. That was the Bible being made manifest. To see it. We can look out and see the other things. We can talk about all of the things that we see today as being the Word fulfilled. And you watch people. Every time you turn around, somebody, look at Israel. Look at Israel. I know you're supposed to look at Israel. I know that. I know Israel is a timepiece. Sure. But Israel getting in trouble and coming out of it in World War III, hanging right over, ain't going to put us in the rapture. To know who Israel is not going to make you a child of God. That's only reading the newspaper. Anybody with one-eyed and high sense, as Brother Ruddle used to say, or to know that Israel, when they go through a six-day war and whoop nations all around them and everything else, they ought to know God's fighting for Israel. That don't take a rocket scientist to be able to say it. But that don't make us Christians just because we can read something. It's when what we read becomes a reality. See, what we need today, church, more than anything, is a revelation. But see, we got a lot of head knowledge, and I agree. I agree with what Brother Harris was saying Wednesday, you know, and all, because I preached it myself. We put too much emphasis on the dynamic, the mechanics, and not enough on the dynamic. But there's one thing about it. You can't put emphasis on the dynamics unless God brings it. Because that is the dynamics. The dynamics is God quickening it. It's not just because me and you say, hey, Aaron, okay, we got to do it. Now, let's run. Come on. In every service, we're going to run. We're going to run every service because we're in the dynamics. No, that's not dynamics. That's not it. That's no more than the Pentecostals shouting and speaking in tongues. The dynamics is when God comes on the scene in your life and quickens what you got. There's dynamics. Now, the reason we put too much emphasis is because we're not speaking positive about what we're doing. Ain't no way to put too much emphasis upon God's Word. But it is if you just word all the time and got no emphasis upon the quickened Word. You got no emphasis upon the revealed Word of God. It ain't nothing but just a mechanical machine. But see, I'm trying to get you to think positive. The only way you can think positive is through the dynamics. Right. Right. So as long as you're in the mechanics, you're still, as I said this morning, you're in the yeas and the nays. But when, head knowledge, right? But when it's revealed, then it becomes dynamics. I can't quicken nothing to you, you can't to me. But we can make ourselves available. But you know what the problem? I thought of it this week. Might as well say it. I thought of this week about the couple that came from Brazil. You know, the boy that came and the girl came with him. That girl's never even been hardly to church probably in her life. She's not in the message or anything when it came to interpret for him. She wore her pants for a couple of times and a lot of people probably got offended about it. But you know, all it took was Sister Gail to say, we wear skirts and dresses around here. Next time she came, she had on a skirt. She was tickled about it. Look. She said something about, we did about the Alabama meeting. She said, well, I might go. And they're supposed to let me know. She said they'd probably go. I said, well, there's one thing they got is a strict dress code. She said, tell me what they need. I said, just what you got on. That's a strict dress code. You look good. She said, thank you. I said, that's the way that it is. Wear that type of clothes. You don't paint your face. You don't wear makeup. You don't do those things like that over there. But you know what my point is? Do you know that she sat here hearing me preaching and everything and never got offended? You know, Sister Gail talked to her and she never got offended. I talked to her quite a length. You know, she never got offended. She agreed with it. Never been to church, maybe hardly in her life. But then I say some things to some of you and you get offended. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. You claim to be Christians. You claim to be born again. You claim to be headstones. You claim to be everything. And I say something and you get offended and you go away and you yakety-yak among yourself. That little girl is going to be a witness against you. Now I'm standing here pointing my finger over this whole building and back at me. That girl will be a witness. Because that girl took what was said to her and come in dressed right and was not offended. But yet you're offended and you go home, you get on the telephone, you yak at each other. You tell me you got a positive attitude. To me, that's very, very negative. That's what I'm getting at. Go ahead. Just remember, the children were killed because of mom and daddy sitting around the table talking about old bald head. The mom and daddy's was killed. So. All right, I move on. Listen. Now, what's the point of what I'm trying to get at? See, a revelation. Now, I said a little bit about this morning, and I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. A revelation of a future event, when it's given to you, it is in a present tense form. Now, people say, well, Brother Dale, you say things like that. We don't understand. Don't understand what? When you see a dream or a vision or something, when John saw on the Isle of Patmos, he was there probably laying up under a tree with his hands behind his head in the Spirit of God. Translated over into 2006 plus whatever God gives us, and seen the future home all the way, and wrote about it. But you know what? When he was doing it, he was sitting there writing it right then in present tense language. Do you agree? Right then he was writing it down. See, because what he saw was exactly the way God sees it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's the way God sees it. When God says something, that's the future. That could be thousands of years later. But to him, it's present tense. Listen, that's why Jesus was standing there. And Mary and Martha, oh yeah, we know Lazarus will raise in the resurrection. What did he say? Oh yeah, one of these days there'll be a resurrection. One of these days there'll be a resurrection. Now what did Jesus say? He said, I am the resurrection. Right. And Brother Brown said when that was spoke to Moses at the burning bush, when it said, I am, he said, that means ever present for eternity. That's why when Jesus would come along and he'd say, before Abraham was, I am. He didn't speak in future of going somewhere or doing. He spoke of present tense things, even though he would speak of coming back. But to him, his going up and his coming back was right there in his word. And when you and I see it that way, because we got to have it. That's the title of the message, because it's positive attitude number 3. I think I announced number 1 this morning, but this is number 3. So that was number 2. Present tense gospel. A present tense gospel. A past tense gospel. Now listen to what I'm saying, because you got to understand. Because when I say past tense, don't refer back to what I said about the had been and there already is. A has been gospel is a past item. You can talk about Brother Branham. Brother Branham. And look what Brother Branham. And look what Brother Branham. That's past tense. You can talk about Jesus. You can talk about Paul. That's past tense. That's already behind. But then what did the prophet say that our biggest problem was? Looking back to what has been, or looking forward to what is coming and not accepting what is with us right now. Huh? See, present tense, because that's the way God sees things. When God sees, that's what I tried to explain this morning. When God sees something, I'm trying to explain a revelation because that's the way I know what God sees it that way. Because that's the way I've seen it. When God speaks to you about something, it's present tense. But yet it may be 20 years before it'll take place. That's what Abraham was doing. Abraham for 25 years. Had a present tense revelation in his heart. It was a future time. Remember, I tried to explain this morning. Jesus died and stood as a lamb slain before the world. That had to take place 2,000 years ago. But see, church, the revelation of the future then is in a present tense gospel. Boy, one of these days, Aaron, something's going to happen. We're going to go sailing through the sky. One of these days, somebody's going to come along and they're going to bring us a Shelley or a Reagan or a Daly or somebody, and they're going to put us in the rapture. Now, come on, is that the way people do? Always looking for somebody. I've watched a lot of you do that. You hear something somewhere, you run. I ain't saying nothing about it. I'm just saying you do it. You run out there and listen to some of that. But I hope you've learned over the time to find out if you come back home knowing that them went down the drain. I've been around long enough that I don't have to worry about it. And it don't bother me to call names because they call mine plenty of times. But listen, when God spoke it, it was already finished. He spoke it in a future tense of what would take place on earth. But to him, it was present tense right there. To him, it was just as real as it ever take place. When God said it, it didn't matter if it was 4,000 years, 10,000 years, or how many thousand. We only been 6,000. When God said it, it didn't make no difference. It was as real right there as it was the day that he died on Calvary. Now you think about, no wonder Jesus died in agony. No wonder he sweat drops of blood in the garden. What if you knew all the scriptures that was pertaining to that great crucifixion would be coming upon you? What if you knew that when you were 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and all of your life you went through thinking about what was coming? You said, well, he was God, wasn't he? And didn't he know the Bible? Wasn't it his custom to read? Now, I know God quickened things to him. I know that, because he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe that right then was quickened to him. But you just think of all his life he went through that. And there in that garden, it was totally settled. He said, I know all I got to do is move my finger and it'll all be over with. But if I do, all these people are going to die and go to hell. So, not my will. See, he had to come to a total present tense in the basis of saying, this is what I said before the world. Now I must fulfill it. That wasn't no man that died for you. That's why I differ with the people of the River Jordan doctrine. There was no man, brother. I said one man can't die for another one. God Almighty in human flesh. Dwelling here gave his life. Because he was the only one that could pay the price. But do you see what I'm talking about? See, everything must come to you and I as present tense. Get away from the past and get away from the future. It's good to look what is coming. I enjoy that, don't you? I'm not saying that. I like to look back. You know that all we have is based upon what was behind us? Come on. But yet, if we don't move into a present tense realm, we're not preaching a present tense gospel. Now, this is going to be hard and straight, but it's as much as I can make it. If I don't preach present tense gospel, I'm not God's called preacher. To preach the past and to preach the future is not God called. There's no way for me to be called to tell you what's in the millennium. Or in the future home, now other than what Brother Branham said. There's no call could be upon any man's life from God to tell you what would take place after the millennium in the future home. Well, yeah, that's what you hear in the message, people. Well, then they ain't God called. Because God called man to preach a present tense gospel. Show me one man that didn't preach present tense. Paul, standing right there, said, preach so hard till they thought that the next second the end of the world was coming. Brother Brown said he had trouble getting it out of their mind. Come on, he said he had trouble getting them out of their mind that that God was coming right back. But to him, it was just present tense. That was it. Now listen, church, the reason I can say this, I know what it is. If God ain't never revealed to you nothing, then you don't know what I'm talking about. And what you think sometimes is revelation is not. It's only your intellectual concept. But when you see a revelation, you have no fear whatsoever about anybody saying anything contrary to that. You mean Brother Branham would stand up and preach what the serpent seed was and what happened there, and then go, well, I better make it a little lighter because, I better be a little careful now. No, he made it as strong as he could put it. He made it to everything that he could put it to be. I was laughing last night about it. Sometimes I say things pretty strong, but I was laughing last night, and I didn't say nothing to Peggy about it, but with listening to the tape on the token. And you think Brother Branham don't speak straight sometimes? He said that old Jew standing out there said, come around behind the corner, I'll show you I got the token. Now, Bud, you think Brother Branham ain't speaking straight? What does he mean? Circumcision. You don't never listen to him when he says things like that. That's pretty strong language. He said, come around here, I'll show you that I've got the token. When you see what you're talking about, that's why it don't bother me about all these people running around the message. It don't bother me about all of these doctrines and ideas and things. And I listen to them to try to find out what they're saying. Because there's always some good stuff laying around. But I know and for a reality in my heart that they haven't changed me. I offended a bunch of preachers in a minister's meeting one time. When I got up and told them, I said, all you've ever preached ain't added one word to what God showed me. And they were ministers got offended at that statement I made. But I still stand here today and say, when God opened that word to me, there's not been one word added by any of you. Now, I didn't say you hadn't preached things that I hadn't preached on. I didn't say you hadn't said things. I didn't say you hadn't helped me. I didn't say you hadn't brought things that I hadn't talked about. And I said, you ain't added one word. Because when God opened them seals to me in 1970, started in 70, about 78, 79, and finishing up in 82 and 83, I'm not concerned about what anybody says. Because I saw it open all the way to the end. I'm just standing here now watching it take place. Watching the reality of Jesus Christ. In our own eyes, we only look at past and present. In our eyes, we look at past and what's been. We look at future of what's coming. What I should say, future tense. Instead of seeing present tense. We should see things present. We should talk about the rapture is right here. Why? We talk about the rapture as a revelation. We talk about the resurrection is in us. The rapture is in us. And where is our confession? All things were finished when Jesus hung on Calvary and said, it is finished. That was it. It was done. Now, he didn't say that nothing else will ever be said. He said it's finished. If you get anything, you'll come to Calvary. People went straight to Calvary, and on the day of Pentecost, God started a New Testament. And he hadn't stopped preaching since then, because he said, till this day the kingdom is preached. And it's being preached. But it's being preached in the present tense. When are we going to start saying, I am the resurrection? When are we going to say, I and my Father are one? But see, instead of that, we get our little petty feelings. And somebody said something and we get offended, and then we just lay out when we get ready. I'd like to roll time sometimes back for y'all about 20 years or 30 years or even 40 years to some of you and see how dedicated you were to coming to church when you wouldn't hear nothing. Most of you went to church when you were in denominations more than you do today. You were more dedicated to church when you were in a denominational system, serving an antichrist system and believing in an anti-word God of Trinitarianism, than you are today. And then you blame your children for not lining up. If you want to know what you look like, look at your children. Because they're following in your footsteps. They're doing exactly what you taught them to do. You didn't go to church all the time, so how do you expect your children not? What do you expect them to do? If you ever want to see yourself, don't go look in the mirror. Go look at your children. I go look at mine sometimes and I get so upset with my own self that I want to kick myself, not them. Go look at your children. Some of you women, let your children dress so ungodly, but just remember, you were the ones that put that in their mind to take a dress like that, because they know you won't say nothing about it, because they'll look back in your face and say, Mama, Daddy, you dressed like this yourself. That's why I've done it many times. I've apologized to our children for the way adults has tried to raise them. I'm serious. I've apologized for the way adults has tried to raise children around you. They see you put on just a little makeup and then they go paint their face blood red and then you get upset. They ain't one bit difference in blood red or one spot. They ain't one bit of difference in one hair or cutting your whole head off of your hair. All the same. But yet you blame your children for going out into the world. Just remember, you may never want me back again be back again, because a lot of you, that's the way you are. When you get upset with me, you don't come back in the evenings. And hey, I know a lot of you don't have nowhere else to go in the afternoon, because when you leave here, you ain't got time enough to go to another church. So you go home and you sit down and you pout. And you get on the phone and you, or go out and you act. See, the reason things are not working is because we don't have the positive attitude. I've been a lot of lenient things because I don't believe in beating nobody into anything. But there's one thing about it. You won't stand at judgment and declare that Brother Dale didn't preach to you. Marriage and divorce from the very beginning, from the very fact of a touch or a kiss, has been preached to you. You children sit and listen to it, that you, not even to kiss, not even to do those things, until you're married. You can't blame me for the fact that I haven't preached it to you. You can say, like the brother said, I kept trying to tell you to feed my sheep, feed my children. But see, I wasn't ordained to raise your children. I was ordained to preach the gospel. You're the ones responsible for your children. If you see your children go do something wrong, go look in the mirror and say, that's me. What is the song? We opened the gates and the sheep got out, and how did the goats get in? Something like that. How did the goats get in? Because you let down the gate. But I've done everything I... Don't talk to me about silly things. I've done everything I could do about my children, and then them see you live like the devil in front of them. Just remember, you're raising those children for the glory of the Lord. You bring them here and I dedicate them to God, I hand them right back to you for you to raise. But also everybody in this building is supposed to be trying to raise those children too. You see why it's so hard to try to preach a positive yours? Well, Brother Dale, we go, okay. Brother Dale, Brother so-and-so comes in, we just feel so good. We feel so wonderful. We just up, and you come and preach, and we feel down. Come on. Is it right? I've thought about playing some tapes of some of these people back to you to listen to you hollering amen. And when I preach, it's so quiet you can drop a pin and you hear a clink. But that brother got me in the spirit. Okay. Do what you want to. If the word can't get you in the spirit, you're not in the right spirit. That's what I'm talking about, a present tense gospel. Don't tell me you can take you, as a brother did that time, said he took his wife to a Pentecostal church to get her free in the spirit where she could get the Holy Ghost. She got speaking in tongues. It proved it. Come on. See, what are we going to do? See, my point is this, folks. When are we going to look at things as the way God does? When are we going to look at things the way God does? Quit looking at the past and don't look at the future, but look at the present tense. I get up and walk through the house at night praying for you, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you for your word that you've given us. Please give something, because I need something. I need something to speak to the people about. We need to move on. Let's see how many of you are in the night calling my name to pray for me. Okay. See, we've got to think positive. Now listen. To God, He sees the past, present and future. Now, to God. God sees the past, the present, and the future as the Word already made manifest. Now, do you understand that? To God now, He sees the past, He sees the present, He sees the future. He sees it as the Word already made manifest. He's not waiting. See, how long are you going to stay? What was Old Testament doing? Come on, you preachers, what? You know what I'm talking about. It was pushing the ever sin that was committed, every animal that was offered, it was pushing that toward Jesus Christ. Right? To where He could pay the price. But when He paid the price, it was over with. But He paid the price for all of their sins. He paid the price for all of our sins. If not, you got to get him to die again. Come on, and the Bible says you put him to an open shame. Because that's what you do if you put him on a cross again. You put him to an open shame. And that's a New Testament scripture. But we must think positive about God's Word. We must believe that God's Word is written about us. That's why I've done it three times. I'll do it again now. That's the way I study the Bible. I look at what it's talking about. Who it's talking about. Who it's talking to. Then I find Christ in the Word. Then I find myself and read that Scripture to me. Go back and read the Psalmist a lot of times. Don't read the Psalmist as reading to you, to somebody else. Read it like this. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent men, which imagine mischief in their heart continually, and they gather together for war. Deliver me. That wasn't Solomon. That wasn't David. That was me that said that. That was me that said that. And sometimes I don't like what I read about me. But just remember, you keep reading. Because he may be letting me have it through verse 1, 2, and 3. You know, just illustrating it. But about verse 10 or 12, he's calling me the apple of his eye. He's telling me all those things are gone. And I made a statement the other day about Moses talking about the things, and Sister Brother Gary's, Francis' wife, brought it to my attention. You know, she said, "You said Moses said that." I said, "Yeah, Moses did." You know why? Because Moses wrote it. See, Abraham was the one that was saying it. It was Abraham that was telling him that the people were going to be in bondage for 400 years and they'd be brought out by a strong hand. That was Abraham making the statement. But Moses wrote it. Then I'd made the statement. I said, Moses said he'd be down there 400 years and be brought out by a strong hand. It was. Moses wrote it. But Abraham was the one that said it. But listen, church. When are we going to look around at everything and see it? Chariots jostling in the streets, all the things that we look at. And we see wars on every hand, everything taking place. When are we going to start saying, we're here? We're here. When are we going to start reading the Bible as here now? I remember the first time that I remember sitting on the bed at the house the first time that I saw the book of Ruth. I had read the Bible. There's probably no telling how many times I had read the book of Ruth. Because that was the pride of the Baptist, see. Make sure you've read the Bible at least one time this year. And you got stars and everything, you know, for doing that. But I enjoyed reading it on top of all that. But I remember sitting on the bed in the home that we lived in Gilsville up there, and sitting on the bed in there with my wife, and I said, look. Look what it's saying. Ruth had a kinsman redeemer that was closer kin than Boaz. Through Naomi and the inheritance, she had a closer kin which represented the devil. But Boaz represented Christ, and he come and paid the price. I remember just, I'd weep in my heart because I'd never related it to myself. I never thought about it talking about me. I thought it was talking about Ruth. Come on, that's the way most people read the Bible. It's about somebody else. Well, you can't show me in the Bible anything like that. You ever heard women especially argue with you about some kind of thing? You'll say, well, the Old Testament said don't wear a garment pertaining to man. That's in the Old Testament. Show me a New Testament scripture that says that. Hebrews 13:8. Come on, Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, that's why, church, read the Bible for yourself. See yourself in it, in every page. Read yourself. Find yourself in the Word. But you'll find how perfect God is talking about you. But see, all we want to read is the perfection state, right? You know, the good things, you know. We like to read the good things about how good we are, but we don't read what we are or have been We like to read some future thought of what maybe we're going to be one of these days and forgetting the present tense. I hope you understood what I said a while ago, and I'm sure that a lot of people will be offended about that, because if you're not preaching the present tense gospel, then don't tell me God called you to preach. Don't tell me God called you to preach and you don't preach a present tense gospel. Well, Brother Branham was so-and-so, and Brother Branham, one of these days, Brother Branham's coming back. I have no problems with those two statements. I believe it. But what about now? I remember when I first came into the message, we was reading, and some of the brothers was preaching about, said, manifested sons will only be in the millennium. Manifested sons will only be in the millennium. We're going to have manifested sons in the millennium. And I thought, well, Lord, we sure do need them now. Yeah. But one day I run across a quote from the prophet. Of course, people got mad at me because I found what he said. He said, we don't need manifested sons in the millennium. We need them now.
That's right.
And I started quoting that. People, don't like what Brother Dale said. That wasn't what I said. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Exactly. Without them here now. I believe in them. Let's stand. Go ahead. Aaron and go on, Brother Harris. You and Brother Harris do that. Time for the communion. Commune is to fellowship. Communion, we take the communion, we take the bread, we take the wine, we call that communion. But really, communion is to fellowship with God. To walk with God.
Amen.
Commune with God. And to walk in His Word.
Right.
That's true communion. And what do we have? But yet we see what we get, like I said about the little girl. You tell a sinner that it's wrong for them to do something, and they'll straighten up. You tell people this message, and I'm talking about this church, because I ain't out there somewhere else. You tell them something and they get offended. Maybe you ought to go back and get lost again. Maybe you're too religious. You need to get lost again where you could get saved. I know that's carnality and stupidity, but it ought to tell you the truth. Okay. Our sister needs to say something to the church. I want that word to be turned up right here.
Just one thing when it comes.